From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday, Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, Matt Wyatt, radio host, you know him as the former co-host of Head to Head on Super Talk, now doing ESPN Radio out of, I guess technically out of Jackson. He's recorded in Tupelo every single day, but I do a show once a week. He was kind enough to join me from the road. We taped on Wednesday. I don't even remember what we said, so if something's out of date by now, my apologies, but that's when it's recorded. And you are hearing it this morning on the show that's brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Blue Sky there on Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know about the lunch specials, Brunswick stew, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink, $4.99. Maybe ribs tonight on the way home, especially if there's a rain out. I don't know if there will be or not, but if there is, you can stop by Oxford Exxon, pick up some ribs, call ahead. They'll have them wrapped up and ready to go for you. You know you get good gas prices using the SpeedPass Plus app, the Mobile Rewards program, and much more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark, sorry, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. I'm in the middle of a group text with Jay Tate and Gabe DeArmond, and it is bizarre. Anyway, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Corey's also the sponsor of The Greatest Pot in the South, which was released yesterday, edition 58. So you're doing me a favor. You're doing Jay and Gabe and Chase and everybody else a favor, and you're doing yourself a favor. If you just call Corey and get a quote, if you think you're in the market for a car, think you might be in the market soon for a car, just get a quote. It's going to give you a baseline moving forward at the very least. And it just might get you in a Ford vehicle like it has done for me and so many others. Great service after the sale, delivery options, all of that stuff. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll prove that to you and show you what that means. First time you call, ask for a quote and go from there. 662-257-1900. Mention that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line.
So up at Rebel Grove this morning, I did a baseball mailbag. You can find that. We led it with what's the draft status of the top five or so juniors from that number one signing class. Obviously, Ryan Rollinson, already a Colorado Rocky. He was a first-round pick last year. But what that looks like, we ask in the mailbag, or they ask, I tried to answer, does Ole Miss in the Bianco era have a comp to Jake Mangum? We talked about, is a national seed out of the question? What's the possibility for Kevin Graham next season? And then another question as well that I'm completely blanking on right now. There were five. So you can go read that at rebelgrove.com. I asked some scouts about those juniors. I took their word for it because they certainly know more about it than I do. And while I had them on the horn, I also asked about Jerrion Ealy. So on the message board for subscribers only, you can find a very detailed write-up on Jerrion Ealy as far as what scouts are thinking with him as well. He has plummeted in a lot of projections, so we tried to answer the question why, and what does that mean for Ole Miss moving forward. So anyway, that's up at rebelgrove.com. We'll give you Matt here in a little bit on this podcast, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State is supposed to start at 6:30 tonight. And I'll just tell you, the forecasts are volatile, the atmosphere is volatile, and no one has any freaking idea when they're going to play baseball this weekend. But as of right now, it is 6:36 and noon on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So yeah, and you can get general admission tickets at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Good job there. Nice.
Thank you.
Ole Miss softball beats Mississippi State yesterday. 9-4, I believe, was the final score. Abby Latham had a grand slam at some point. I saw those highlights on the internet, on the Twitter machine. So they play Kentucky this morning in the quarterfinals. If they win, I believe they play Alabama later in the day. So there's that. Little wrap.
They have a pet betta fish.
They have a betta fish. Helped on the rally yesterday. It's a very LSU thing. You know, they used to have like the rodent or the beaver or whatever it was.
Here's the thing. Squirrel. I have a lot of experience with betta fish Some make it a long time and some don't. What do you do if you wake up one morning and you're the person on the Ole Miss softball team responsible for the betta fish and the betta fish is not there? Do you go replace the betta fish surreptitiously? Or do you honestly tell your teammates that I believe the fish's name is it's like Crash or Smash or something like that. Do you tell them that, hey, Smash is dead?
That is like that is like a sports Seinfeld episode. You like wake up on game three of the Super Regional and your beta's dead?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, what do you do?
Hey, we're trying to get to Oklahoma City, but the fish is deceased.
Yeah, because that, I mean, if, look, there are no truer words than in, I believe, Bull Durham, when Crash Davis tells Nuke Lelouch, if you think you're winning because of whatever, you are. You are. And so if you as a team begin to think for just a minute, we're winning because of this betta fish, then you are winning because of that betta fish. And if that betta fish is no longer there, there's a little thought in your head that goes, oh, our karma's off. And that's all it takes. Risk. I'm telling you, it's high risk.
You have to replace the fish.
Yes.
And not and tell then, a soul.
And then you have to live with that.
That's fine, though, because if it works, it works.
If it works.
You don't screw with the confidence of the other people that think that fish is there.
No, that's a story that you wait to tell your teammates 20 years down the road when y'all gather again. Like for the 20-year reunion of your college.
Hey, by the way.
Hey, just so you guys know. Smash died on that Saturday of the Super Regional. I went to a Walmart. That wasn't Smash.
That was Crash.
That was Crash. Y'all called him Smash, and I let you. And I've lived with this for 20 years. And it feels good to get it off.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I saw the betta fish, but anyway. All right, Ole Miss, Kentucky, whatever, today. I'm not being passive. I just have no idea where to take that. Do you want to read y'all's text message conversation, or do you want me to move on to something else?
No, I really
can't do that right now.
Really can't. Jay wants to share this story on episode 59 of G-Pits, and I am concerned that if he does, there won't be an episode 60.
We are not bound by FCC laws.
No, we're not.
We're the internet.
The interesting thing is he is at the Eastern Kentucky University commencement as we speak. He has sent photographic evidence.
Why?
His nephew is graduating today and has kind of overcome a lot of things to get to this point. So it's a pretty big deal. Yep. And so he says... it would lead to you and I having to do a lot of editing and then it would also lead, there are some that are just not comfortable with conversations that ever steer towards anything, and those people get upset, and we'd have all sorts of reports and such. As the late George H.W. Bush once said, it just wouldn't be prudent.
Okay. Fair enough. You're teasing next week's episode well, though, so I'll give you that to you.
Yeah. I know Jay's going to want to go in this direction. It started off with him asking if something that had happened in his past was... could it be defined in a certain way? It started off with Courtney, his wife, said that it could, and he said that it couldn't, and then he asked us both, and he painted the picture for us, and both Gabe and I sided with Courtney and said that it absolutely was that.
Really?
Yeah, and so that has led to...
So no one jumped on Team J?
No, Courtney was right. I mean, it wasn't really about even picking sides. It was just one side was clearly right. It was like a game where... you know, one team wins 11-0, and someone said, who's the better team? I mean, even if your friends are all on the team that had the zero, you're going to go out there better.
Well, Jay didn't think that was right.
No, he didn't, but I think it was more because he's in a certain degree of denial about the situation.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, let's get to two things here before. I'll get some questions. We'll do a lot of stuff today. I've got a little while. So, with Jerry and Ely, I don't want to give it all away because it's in really, really detail. There's a lot of stuff to it. I'll make these points. And this is more of just for the draft in general. This has to do with Cooper Johnson, Gray Kessinger, Thomas Dillard, Jerry and Ely, John Rhys Plumlee, all the way down the list. There are 30 Major League Baseball teams. 29 can hate your guts and think you are absolutely awful at the game of baseball. And one can love you, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
We've seen that over the years with multiple guys. I mean, and I'm sure it happens probably with every guy to some extent. You know, the one that I always talk about, even though we weren't talking about a first-round pick, is that whatever year that was, Jake Overby, Preston's brother, played at Ole Miss, ended up playing football, I think, at UT Martin, ended up playing baseball at Memphis as well. Out of high school, nobody saw him in the top 30 rounds except the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies thought he was a 10th-round pick. They took him in the 10th round. They took him 20 rounds ahead of everyone else because that's where they liked him. So point being, it just takes one. If those guys like you, they will move up. They will take you ahead of whatever. So as we talk about Ely on the board, as we talk about Ely on the podcast, we talk about Plumlee, there are two undeniable facts. Is there's no way to predict what all 30 teams are going to do because it just takes one. There is no majority. And two, you see this a lot at all levels. All the planning in the world does not compute to the fact of when they lay the check in front of you and you have to tear it up.
Yeah, I get the question a lot, and I get it. Ole Miss football fans say, do you think Ely's coming? And I'm like, well, I think your chances are better than they've been in a long time. But understand that the day is coming sometime probably in the month of June when he has to essentially look a dollar figure that's real money in front of his face in the eye and say no to it. And maybe he will, and maybe he won't. But until that moment comes to say, oh, well, he's definitely going to play football. He's definitely going to Ole Miss, definitely doing anything. Until he's actually turned the money down and the deadline has expired.
The three things that I highlighted yesterday, and again, you can or this morning, you can again read them at RoboGrove.com, not going through all of them, but it's there on the website. But the three things that do lead you to think that as of right now, he's in pretty good shape to play football and maybe even baseball as well at Ole Miss starting next season. The Kyler Murray effect is in full force. It is affecting this entire draft, and I'm not sure it's affecting anyone more than it's affecting Jerry and Ely. One scout told me, quote, Kyler wasn't in my area, but I imagine Jerry, and while not as good as what he looked like, he reminds you of him, and that's just not a good thing right now. Number two, his play this spring. He hasn't been very good. One scout called his swing crude as far as his hitting approach and said that some teams have even taken him off their board at this point just from a project standpoint. And then three, and this is a whole other thing, I'm just going to hit it quickly. He's compared to a lot of other guys that haven't panned out. You look at him from position, from location, being from Mississippi, you know, Cinquez Golson, DJ Davis, a lot of different guys. I mean, one guy told me, the state of Mississippi really needs Joe Gray to be good at baseball to kind of change some of the perception about more raw outfielders from the state of Mississippi. So Ely is getting thrust into that category a little bit as well. So those are the three things that I highlight in a lot more detail. But anyway, you can find that at rubblegrove.com. So anyway.
Well, keep this in mind because people ask this too. If he were to play baseball professionally next year, he would be doing lots and lots of instructs, rookie ball. He would be playing at a level where, and we've talked about this before, people don't believe this. He would get fined if he knew his batting average. They would tell him, your numbers don't matter. This is about working on your swing, working on your game. This is totally a development year. Results don't matter. He would not have that luxury at Ole Miss. In fact, from everything I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he'd play much next year at Ole Miss because I don't think he'd be good enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a good example is Joe Gray, just because he has a lot of similarities to Ely, because at one point Joe Gray was seen as the number three overall prospect in that class last year. Ely is a different athletic guy than Gray, but Mississippi, outfielder, guys that needed some polish in different areas, that's kind of what I'm talking about. And Gray was eventually taken 60th by the Brewers. He came off his number to get taken 60th, and he has played to this point only in the Arizona Rookie League. He has, trying to find it here, he has 24 games, 98 plate appearances. He is hitting 182, and no one in the Brewers organization gives two craps. I promise. Don't care. So, yeah, in college, you're looking at, hey, can a guy help in 1 to 2 years? And the pros, can he help in 5 to 8 years? Completely different thing. And in college, you need ready-made players. So, yeah, from an offensive standpoint, I don't think Ely's ready for college baseball. I think he would help running. I think he would help defensively. I think he would do some different things. But your other problem with Ely, and I don't know this, maybe he'd look at me and go, no, I'd be dedicated as all get out. He's going to play football, and he's probably going to be very, very good at it. Do you stick with baseball when it's not going well and it takes that type of commitment? That's what I'm wondering about a little bit. So I'm hesitant to act like if he comes to Ole Miss, it's just some guarantee that he's going to have some 3-year career in both sports, because there's a lot of life that happens. There's a lot of sport preference that happens. And as one scout said yesterday, well, whereas Anthony Alford always reminded him as a baseball player that played football, Ely reminds him of a football player that plays baseball.
Yeah, I kind of think he's going to end up playing football. The gamble worked out for Kyler Murray. Whether he ends up being an NFL player or a good NFL quarterback or not remains to be seen, but he was the first pick in the draft. He's going to get paid like the first pick in the draft. It worked out. And maybe it works out for Ely too. We'll see. I don't know. I just, like, I'll at risk of being repetitive, there does come a moment where you have to turn that money down. And unlike Kyler Murray could turn down the A's money because he knew what was coming. Kyler Murray had to kick the can down the road about 2 months. Jerry and Ely potentially has to kick the can down the road 3 years. It's a different equation.
Sorry, I got a little distracted by Twitter because that's completely wrong. I had teased my mailbag today with, could any of the top Revs BSB juniors return next season? And somebody goes, yeah, Kessinger. No, that's not happening. Come on.
Those are people that just don't understand. Yeah, you love your school too much when you start thinking that. You're not being rational.
Yeah, Gray's getting taken in the top 3 or 4 rounds. If you told me to pick one, I'd say Zabowski, but they could all go. I mean, with Cole, it's one of those deals where he's going to get the chance to go play professional baseball. If you come back, you have no leverage. From a financial situation, you're better to go. It simply depends on whether you just like school and want to come back, because it's not life-changing money. That's the question.
Yeah, it's Olenek a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. He just, you know, come back. What the heck? Sure. Somebody will take him this year. He'll still get a chance to put a uniform on. Of course. So, one question here, just for a couple minutes. I find we like hypotheticals here on this podcast. And we get to make our Golden Triangle people happy, too, because it's a state topic. In my mailbag, it was asked for an Ole Miss comp to Jake Mangum. And there's really not one. I asked some different people. I came up with, for different reasons, Austin Bousfield and Stephen Head over the course of the last 20 years or so. But here's my question. You know, Mangum was originally committed to Alabama. Obviously, a lot of family ties to Alabama. Decommits, commits to state, has a great career, is the SEC all-time hits leader. If he stays at Bama, what's his career? How did he impact the state program? And is Bama still completely crappy, or are they better with Jake Mangum on the roster?
You would know better than me. He's an awfully good college hitter.
He's a really good hitter, but he's a better leader than he is a hitter. That's why I had Stephen Head. He just kind of wheels them to wins. You know what I mean?
He does.
Just kind of picks up confidence for everybody. I mean, he was not going to revolutionize the Alabama program, which means he wouldn't be having a place in, frankly, SEC baseball history, I think. I mean, it worked out for everybody but Alabama. And, frankly, I don't think State would have had the success the last 3 years without him on the roster.
No, he's been paramount to their success. He gets other people to play above their heads a little bit.
You know, I asked Matt Wyatt on something you'll hear in a second, what is Jake Mangum's legacy? And so much of it is, you know, where so many guys are kind of tarnished by what they do, or more frankly, what they don't do at the pro level. I think Mangum's one of those guys that no matter what, and if he never plays a pro game in his life, he's got a very cemented legacy in Starkville and
sure
could probably run for mayor one day.
Sure. I mean, if you're a Mississippi State fan, there's nothing about his game and everything. There's nothing about him that's not to like.
Yeah.
He's your guy. And he's shown up big throughout his career against Ole Miss. He's shown up big in big games.
Led you to Omaha.
Yeah, he's made big plays in the outfield and plays hard. He plays the game the right way, all that stuff.
He's got an edge that, frankly, at times Ole Miss has kind of needed. Ole Miss has kind of lacked that edge from somebody over the years.
Oh, I think certain people, that's just how they play. And if
you need a little of that.
And if it's genuine, it's contagious. Now, if it's fake, it's not. People hate it, fake. But if it's genuine, and that's just – if you play better when you're just kind of jacked up, okay. And guys feed off that.
I think on every roster, you can't have 35 completely – and I don't mean this like bad people, but on the field, you can't have 35 nice guys.
No.
You got to have some edginess to get you going.
No, I mean, you know, the two examples that come to my mind are the slump busting teams, the streak busting, the curse breaking teams, the Red Sox. When they finally won the World Series, they had a bunch of guys on that team that weren't nice at all. I mean, I don't want to like label people as quote bad people, but there were people on that team that they really didn't care about other people that much. I mean, they weren't concerned about being liked at all.
Yeah.
They just did their thing.
And then sometimes you need a bunch of, I mean, in that Road 4 Red Sox, you know, they call themselves the idiots, but the ones that don't even really care or understand history or what it's about, just play, whatever.
Yeah, they didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the Cubs team in 2016, John Lackey was on that team. You know, I mean, John Lackey wasn't worried about 100 years of history. He just didn't care. John Lester didn't care. It took those kind of people that just, it's a baseball game. You know, it required that. Because otherwise, if you have too many people that are genuinely good people and they like, I'll give you an example. David Ross, one of these really good guys, he talked about how when Rajay Davis hit the home run to tie that game, he said the first thought that went through his mind, literally as Rajay Davis is running the bases, was, oh, I bet our fans are heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that. You need people who, frankly, don't care what the fans
think. You can
think.
Play tight. Yeah, it causes tightness. It causes pressure.
You know, I mean, I think there's a degree of that with – I thought there was a degree of that with that Ole Miss team last year on that Monday. They were trying so hard. That's – people say, well, so you're blaming the fans? I'm not blaming the fans at all. No, fans don't throw a pitch. Fans don't hit a pitch. Fans don't catch a ball, nothing. But you can feel the environment change. And if you're impacted by that, it has an impact. That's all I'm saying. And the environment that day absolutely changed. Feel it. And if I could feel it, then the kids on the field could feel it. And they reacted to it. And there is such a thing in baseball as trying too hard.
I don't mean this offensive to this person, because, I mean, we're not arguing by any means, but I'm beginning to wonder if I'm being trolled. The same person just tweeted at me and goes, Cooper Johnson should come back and Dillard would be smart to play one more season. Okay.
That's someone who they're either trolling you or more likely they just don't understand.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's go to
Cooper Johnson would be an idiot to come back. An idiot. He would be an absolute idiot to come back. There's no reason at all for him to even think about coming back. He needs to go begin his professional career. There's that would be absurd to come back.
Let's go talk to Matt White on the Paris and Earhart Hotline in a second. For you, that I'll take by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing's done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates come down before you close, you just get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
This weekend, if you're coming to town for the baseball series, coming to town for graduation, and from the looks of town, many of you are, there's a perfect gift idea for your graduates. Blue Delta Jeans. Send them into the world with a great pair of jeans that will look sharp and last. The Blue Delta Jeans store will be open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Feel free to contact them for a private fitting. Also, Blue Delta Jeans will be set up in the lobby of the graduate on Friday today. It's hard to believe today's Friday, man. On Friday today from 4 to 8, anyone is welcome to come see them, share a drink, say hello, get fitted. If you are staying at the graduate, present your graduate room key. You'll get $100 off. And then also, Chase, you're looking for a last-minute Mother's Day idea? They're going to be open at the studio just off the square in Oxford from 9 to 3 on Sunday for Mother's Day fittings. So there you go. Blue Delta Jeans open all weekend long. And if you're staying at the graduate, show them your key tonight between 4 and 8 and get $100 off of your new pair of Blue Delta Jeans. And you'll be thrilled that you got them. 7 South Tailgating, off packages for any budget, any party size, any number of games needed. Whether you're coming to one game, all 7, or somewhere in between, they can build a tailgating package to suit your needs and your budget. If you prefer to use your own personal tailgating gear, they will store, maintain, clean, and repair that gear as needed throughout the season. And if you prefer to rent some or all gear from 7 South, they offer many colors, types, and sizes to choose from. So call or go online today for a detailed quote customized to your specific needs. It's 662-321-1682 or visit 7southtailgating.com. The person who said that Cooper Johnson should return for another season, you, sir, I'm sure you're a wonderful person, but that was kind of the crap take of the day. It's brought to you by Scooper's Pet Waste Removal LLC. Everyone loves their pets. But no one loves stepping in their pet's stuff, and no one likes to see that stuff tracked into your house. That's a nightmare. Scoopers will go into your backyard, apartment complex, or condominium and pick up what no one really wants to pick up. For $10 of cleaning, Scoopers will clean up your yard, and they'll do it on your schedule, whether that's a weekly, biweekly, or a one-time service. No contracts are required, and you can cancel at any time. If you have multiple dogs, it's just $2. For each additional dog. So if you own a home, a condo, or an apartment complex in Oxford, and you'd like to deal with a lot less crap, call Scoopers at 662-506-2754. Simply send them an email at scoopers.oxfordpetwaste@gmail.com to get your cleanings scheduled today. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit your money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. They also have a commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. So to learn more about Kasasa, to learn more about that commercial checking account, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And if you're coming up this weekend and you're thinking about making Oxford your new home, a second home, a retirement home, whatever the case may be, get in touch with Harry Alexander. He's part of RE/MAX Legacy Realty. It's also a big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. Savannah Square will initially consist of 32 standalone detached structures ranging in size from about 1,100 square feet to about 2,400 square feet. You can check out the model at 215 William Street. They have wonderful layouts, impeccable finishes, which you can inspect the model. Get in touch with Harry. He'll give you a tour. He'll get you more information about this new development while they are units are still available. You can view more at SavannahSquareOxford.com or get in touch with Harry at 662-801-5621.
Now here's Matt Wyatt on the Patterson and Earhart hotline. Matt, let's start at the top. Obviously, first year for Chris Lemonis going pretty well as a Bulldogs head coach. I'm taking a little credit in this one because I got asked last year for the state movement and everything going on, if Ole Miss or State was going to make a change, who would I like? And I really like Chris Lemonis. It was a guy that obviously had been with Dan McDonald. I thought that coming from Indiana to a program that really cared about baseball, although still has some limitations with scholarships and whatnot, that I thought he'd be a really good fit. And frankly, through 48 games, it's kind of hard to argue because the Bulldogs are in pretty good shape right now.
Pretty good shape right now, yeah, Chase. And, you know, Chris, like everything is solid. You know what I mean? That's what I think has been the impression really from the first game until now is when you roll that team out there, they're just solid everywhere you look. You know, obviously with from a hires standpoint, it goes and he hires Foxhall. Really solid hires, paying off. They are a better pitching staff, top to bottom. They're more efficient. The strikeout numbers and walks, everything's improved. You know, you look at, they're not an elite team in terms of defending it on the infield. But look, they're solid. They just never beat themselves. You know, they make the plays they have to. And then everything's improved at the plate, you know, 1 through 9. And so he just does a really solid job. And the other thing I'm impressed with for him is he's very, flexible during series, during games. He's not somebody who's very rigidly tied to, you know, a lineup, a rotation. You look at the way he's kind of mixed and matched the DH spot this year. He's had a bunch of different guys start in that role. And it's like every time he puts a guy in there, it's for a little reason, something they found in the matchup, and it usually works out. So he's done a very, very solid job. There are no holes in it. You know, there's really nothing negative to speak of.
So Friday night, if we are lucky enough to get a game in, there's a lot of weather coming through. Ethan Small, Will Etheridge going to take the balls for the respective teams. You know, Ethan really good last year. Maybe probably ERA and stuff, not quite what he deserved. He had a batting average against under 250 and had a ton of strikeouts, not a lot of walks. But what's kind of been the step? What's allowed him to turn into this type of top 50 prospect that suddenly we're looking at on Friday night?
I believe that it is something that Scott Foxhall has identified in Ethan that, number one, you know, gave Ethan confidence, but number two, the reason he's got confidence is because it's working, and that is, you know, spin rate and locating that fastball, and particularly a four-seam fastball. Now, I'll tell you, I don't want to go, like, too, you know, in-depth on the whole spin rate thing, Chase. That's something that you can really speak to because you study it. You know, I didn't play at that high level, and I hear it. I'm not an expert. I just know this. You don't have to be an expert to see that all year long, teams know, going into Friday night, they know. When you get 2 strikes, he's throwing your fastball up in your eyes. But for some reason, nobody can lay off of it, and nobody can touch it. You know, when he brings it down into the strike zone, he's had a lot of times where he's surprised guys 0-2, looking for fastball up, and he pulls the string at the right time and bang, throws it down hard or hits the outside corner. And, you know, they offer late, they can't put the barrel on it. His breaking ball is what it is, and it was good at the end of last year. But his confidence throwing that fastball, and however the spin rate thing, you know, equates in swings and misses, they identified it, and it has taken him to the next level. He's not throwing 94, 95 miles an hour, ever. But he's consistently 91, 92, and guys just can't put the barrel on it.
State's played really good baseball, been consistent pretty much all season, 15-9 in the SEC. The winner of this series in really good shape to get a top four seed, get that bye in the SEC tournament, and just put themselves in a much better postseason positioning. But they get swept by Arkansas. LSU takes a couple. On the weekends that haven't gone well, what's happened? What is kind of the recipe for the teams that have been able to take series or beat Mississippi State this season?
Well, if you go chronological, so the series loss at home to LSU was a deal where, LSU played pretty well, and State had probably its worst weekend of the year defensively throughout. And it started, even though State won the Friday night game against LSU, late in that game, they kind of kicked the ball around a little bit. LSU rallied late, just ran out of outs, and State won it 6-5 on that. I guess it was a Thursday night. This was Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. And then the next two, there were a multitude of errors in each of the next two games. They were really not very clean defensively. And because of that, it was so uncharacteristic of the team. I think he had guys on the mound who didn't handle it very well, including a true freshman, which, you know, surprise, surprise. Your defense behind JT Gannon at the end of the LSU, they start kicking him around. He just starts filling up the strike zone, and they didn't swing and miss. They hit the ball. So it was kind of an uncharacteristic weekend in that regard. And then the road trip to Arkansas, State really played poorly. Again, one of the characteristics of the team has been they don't walk people, right? Consistently throughout the year, they don't walk people as a pitching staff. Well, they go up there, and in the first couple of games against Arkansas, they walked everybody. Could not hit the strike zone. So, you know, some people might say, well, that's baseball. What I say is you just want to be and stunk it up. And sometimes that does happen. They walked everybody, a bunch of free bases, a bunch of swings and misses themselves. Both teams had to deal with, you know, just an incredibly erratic strike zone the first two games at Arkansas. But it wasn't one way. Both teams were dealing with it. State just didn't deal with it as well as Arkansas did. So I think that's kind of what you chalk it up to. At the same time, I think what you see is the reason State has won all these games and won all the series, Chase, is because 9 out of 10 weeks, they are dominant on the mound on Fridays and Saturdays. And when they've had a couple of series where they weren't dominant with Ethan Small and JP Ginn, that's when LSU and Arkansas got to them.
And obviously, Peyton Plum has done a pretty good job. We'll see him again on Sunday as well. And with Mississippi State, I'm just kind of curious here. They've won. They're 11-2 in their last 13 against Ole Miss. Ole Miss had swept the season series in 15, and then State's dominated since. There for 10 seasons, Ole Miss won every series in Starkville. I guess those five over a 10-year span. Is it just baseball and just kind of the way it happened, or do you think there is something to this rivalry and how teams have been able to kind of parlay seasons on seasons and kind of have wild swings in this series over the course of the last 20 years or so?
Yeah, you know, they have. I think it's kind of like, Chase, the proof is in the pudding, you know, because you can't dispute that there for several years, Ole Miss dominated the series, and every year it was a little bit of a springboard, it seemed like, for them. And then the same thing's been true for State. You know, you look back at that 2013 team that went deep. You remember in the middle of the year that team wasn't that good. They're playing a 3-game series in Oxford. They lost the first two. They're just trying to avoid getting swept. But they did it kind of in a dramatic way on Sunday. And those players even said late in the year, the thing that got us going was winning that Sunday game at Ole Miss. You know, so it's the proof's in the pudding. I tend to be a little skeptical of the whole, well, you know, the rivalry thing really plays out on the baseball field, because baseball's not like football. It's different. You know, it's quirky. Both of these teams are elite. Both of these teams are got guys that are going to play Major League Baseball, you know. And both teams are going to have weekends where you go out and you do everything right and still lose. That's the SEC. I kind of think this may be a different year. You're more familiar with Ole Miss, but I follow them closely and, you know, I've talked to Coach Bianco a few times, and I just get the sense that you know, look at that Sunday game against LSU. I know they gave up those runs late, and you had to go to the 10th. But if you look at it even closer, every time LSU tried to do something, Ole Miss goes back to the plate at the top of the inning and puts the bat on the ball. They've got a little bit of a hit offensively at Ole Miss. And State, the truth is, State's got that it thing going on the mound. You know, both teams are good. I don't think this series, one way or the other, is a huge impact on either team other than a place in the seating here or there.
We kind of talked over him a little bit, but JT Ginn obviously having a pretty good season in his first year in Starkville, and I liked his mentality coming in. I thought he's one of those guys that would handle the transition so well. Frankly, it's what Ole Miss has gotten out of Doug Nikhazy instead of Gunnar Hoglund. It's been Nikhazy that's looked somewhat similar because, you know, you look at it around, Marceau at LSU struggled with it, Hoglund struggled with it. That transition's tough. I know he missed a little bit of time there in the midseason. How is he health-wise, and then what's kind of just your overall impression of him to this point?
Yeah, man, he is a cool customer for a true freshman. I mean, obviously the talent is through the roof. I'll tell you, Chase, kind of the word emanating from the Palmeiro Center during the lead up to the season was that the coaching staff impression was, you know, just never seen a guy who gets the kind of movement on everything that he throws the way this kid does. And so you pair that with the velocity. I mean, when he wants to, in the fifth, sixth inning, he'll go out there and bang, he's 95 on the cut. So, you know, the velocity's there. He's throwing changeups and cutters at 89 and 91. And everything is just moving when it's on. That's his deal. And location. So you're that talented. Well, obviously, it's easier to be a cool customer, but he does have the mentality. It's like there's nothing bothers him at all. You know, the rough outing against LSU, it was like, okay, so what? It's going to happen some. And you don't normally get that out of true freshmen. Sometimes you have to manage them a little more. They don't have to manage that kid at all. He's a big-time athlete, fields his position really well. All right, and in terms of being healthy, yeah, that was a precarious kind of situation. They go to Tennessee, word comes out, well, he's not going to pitch. And it's slated, you know, start on Saturday, game two. You're wondering, well, why not? Well, he's a little sore. Well, naturally, the fan base gets scared. You know, you hear that, you hear a little sore. Oh, well, they're trying to cover something up. But they ran him back out there to start on Sunday in the third game, and he just didn't last that long because he couldn't get comfortable. So my thought was, okay, look, I mean, this is big-time college baseball. If there was some type of structural issue or even a chance of it, there's no way that kid sees the mound on that Sunday, even though he missed his Saturday start. So it led me to believe, sure enough, maybe it was a muscle deal. Turns out he just had soreness in a tricep at one point, worked through it, and appears to be back 100%.
So last thing, Matt, appreciate the time. I know you're on the road today. Jake Mangum, barring any postseason matchups between the two teams, will finish his career against Ole Miss. It's been pretty fruitful. He's beaten them. He's done a lot of damage against the Rebels and a lot of other teams. You know, Ole Miss and State really have kind of, you know, take care of their legends over the years. You always talk about all the players coming through. But what is his legacy? I mean, in 10 years, I mean, it's obviously huge, but what will we be talking about with Jake Mangum down the road?
That's a good question. So many times, Chase, I think that, you know, what a guy does in his professional career does impact it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if I were to make an Ole Miss example, you know, you look at like an Eli Manning, right? Like part of the legend of Eli Manning it's greatly impacted by two Super Bowls with the Giants. You know, Eli Manning could have exactly the same college stats and exactly the same college wins and losses, but if he doesn't go and turn into an MVP in the NFL, things don't go well. If he gets hurt, bounces out of the league, we probably don't look at him. We don't look at him the same, you know? And so a lot of that will be the case with Jake is, you know, what happens for Jake in his pro career? Does he work his way through that minor league system, and in 2 years he makes an appearance in a major league game and, you know, becomes a player? That'll impact it. But having said that, I think his legacy already is as a kind of a player who helped to, I guess, turn around the program is not right because it happened earlier in 2013. But, you know, a player who helped to kind of elevate them at a time when State was elevating the program, went through all these coaching changes at the same time they're building this big mammoth baseball stadium to recruit to, you know. I just think that'll be part of his legacy. And the other thing is he has an intensity and a hustle about him that you just don't see. You just don't see. Not that the other guys don't hustle. You know, in other teams have players who play hard and hustle. Jake's got a little something extra about him. And you can't necessarily describe it always, but it's visible to the naked eye. I think it comes from a football mentality. His dad being a football player at Alabama and playing in the NFL, he kind of plays the game and runs the bases, chases fly balls and line drives with a football mentality. And so it really has resonated. And then you throw in there, in fact, the guy's always on base. It's just, it's so incredibly hard to get him out. That I think his legacy will be as people may look at him and go, you know, well, he wasn't the greatest hitter. Palmeiro was or Clark was. But I think what they'll say is he's the best ball player, just all around ball player to ever wear their uniform.
Well, Matt, I appreciate it, bud, and be safe getting back home.
Yeah, thanks, Chase.
Thanks to Matt for giving us some time there. He was on the road, but was kind enough to pull into a parking spot and give us that segment of today's show. That is brought to you by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape. They provide premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi. You know about that. You know about my flowers outside my office, but they offer a lot more. They do custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces, paper patios, forestry mulching, and your dream backyard closer than you think with Master Cuts. You can get a free quote. Go mastercuts.com or give them a call at 662-607-7773. Tell them we sent you. And again, that website's gomastercuts.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You'll save. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. You guys know how this works by now. If you're thinking about a trip, summer, holidays, whatever the case may be, you kind of owe it to yourself to get in touch with John. Give him some parameters, give him a budget, and let him give you some options. You're not obligated to anything. Let him give you some options. And they're options that you would not find on your own. And you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. The podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. The Westin Jackson is a Marriott property. You can redeem your Marriott points there, accrue Marriott points. You can also stop by Soul Spa right there in the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul at the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. And then once you're good and relaxed, you can head over to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's offerings are fantastic. You'll love them. We've never had a bad meal there, neither one of us. We've been there numerous times. Nope. So gather at Estelle tonight. It's also, it's open for Mother's Day, so check that out as well. Though I would suggest that if you're planning to do that, call ahead and make a reservation. The podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in more than 20 states, has advisors in three. What they do is they provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much, much more. They treat investing like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. They'll sit down with you. They'll listen to your goals. They'll study your expenses, and they'll put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that is built uniquely and exclusively for you. It's PinTrust.com. PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll get 10% off your first year's fee. And I want to tell you that Matt Wyatt and all other guests join us on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. You think you have a legal issue, if you know you have a legal issue upcoming, if there's something going on and you just think I probably should speak to an attorney, take advantage of being a podcast listener. Get in touch with John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart. They're Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. And that initial consultation is free. 662-526-1992. Or check out their website, pelaws.com.
Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar in Oxford. Deliver local to your home or workplace. They give you MedSync and maybe with Ole Miss and Mississippi State and get together on the diamond this weekend. A lot of you might need some CBD oil. You can take care of that at G&M as well. Go in. They'll give you multiple different options, including just putting the oil straight into your tongue, the topical salve, or the soft gel capsules if that's easiest as well. And while you're in there, why not just move the prescriptions over and let them take care of you all the time. 662-236-2222. Again, there on South Lamar in Oxford. Arkansas blasts LSU last night, 14-4. The Razorbacks now 2.5 games up in the SEC West with 5.5 to go. If you're Ole Miss, go ahead and let Arkansas win out because that helps your RPI and it hurts everybody else. So you probably just need the Razorbacks to win at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the road to Omaha is going to go through Fayetteville. So they
try to get a weekend of it in Oxford and move on with your day.
Yeah, quit. If you're focused,
I mean, I get you're only two back. I mean, but it's just, I mean, if you get there, great. But at this point, I think you're probably better off allowing Arkansas to beat the other people.
If you're Ole Miss and your choices this weekend are Arkansas can sweep LSU or LSU can sweep Arkansas, you are choosing Arkansas sweeping LSU because it knocks them out and it creates an opening for you if you'll just tread water to host. So Arkansas is hosting. Their RPI is what, 4?
It's high. I don't know.
And they've got a bunch of wins, and I mean they're hosting.
Yeah, they have a bunch of wins. That's one way to put it.
You know, we don't talk about this kind of thing a lot for no reason. Give them some credit. You can't lose in more heartbreaking fashion than they lost last year.
It's impossible.
And it's just, I don't think you could do it. And they're back. They appear to have a really good team, and they appear to not be haunted by that. And I would be haunted by that.
Yeah, I wrote about this some in the mailbags. You can find that again at rebelgrove.com. I think national seeds at this point, barring just major collapses from these teams, UCLA, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Louisville probably for sure. And then I would maybe throw East Carolina in there as well. East Carolina's pulled off a number 3 RPI out of the American, which is pretty impressive. Now, they don't have a lot of top 25 games. They don't have a lot of top 50 games. There are some metrics that are some problems. But I think Cliff Godwin's team, barring something weird, is probably going to get one as well, which would leave 2 spots for everybody else at this point. So just a little update there. But yeah, Arkansas, just they're rolling. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it is certainly going well from the Razorbacks. They have moved now to 18-7 in the SEC, best I can tell from looking quickly. And they're number 4 in the RPI. UCLA, Vanderbilt, East Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Georgia, Louisville, Texas Tech, Georgia Tech, Tennessee.
That's pretty good.
Ole Miss at 18 this morning. However, Auburn and Texas A&M are 16-17, so you can jump over them because they're not hosting.
You want to run through some of these questions that you put up on the site?
Yeah, I was getting to that. Let's start with the number 2 question on the page, Kadeem Sy. It has been announced he has a top 3. And I guess, what are you thinking there? What's the deal? And then also, is he as big or would he be a bigger signee than Johnny O'Brien back in the day?
Yeah, I don't want to make the Johnny O'Brien comparison because Johnny was a Mississippi kid that it would have been a huge deal. It would have been a kind of breaking a glass ceiling a little bit there. It would have been huge. and it didn't happen, and it was a big miss too. We could talk about why that happened, but it's not worth it. The people who think it's Andy's fault are not going to back off, and the people who understand what happened, they understand it was money. So no, it's not as big as that. He's a really talented player. He's a different kind of kid, and there are people, self-included, who are kind of curious to see how he and Kermit Davis jive in coaching. Kermit coaches hard, and this will be an adjustment for Kadeem Sy. My gut says Ole Miss. That was the question. If I were an Ole Miss fan, I would be worried about Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Who's at Pitt now?
It's Capel.
Okay.
And that's why.
The other dude only was like a year, right? Stallings?
He was there a few years. It didn't work.
Went bad.
Real bad.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Huh. Okay, anyway. I'm asked what my fear is. I have a pretty large snake fear, too. It just Neil's kind of trumps mine because it's a lot more vocal and out there. But snakes are way high up there. I'm lucky, and I mean, I'm knocking on every bit of wood around me. I don't see many, so it doesn't come into my focus that much. I really, this is true, and I'll step on eight tomorrow now that I'm saying this. I don't recall the last time I actually saw one.
Stop.
I'm serious.
Well, don't.
Don't tempt the gods, right?
No. That is one of the dumbest things you have ever said.
I'm going to get bit by a copperhead on the golf course next week, aren't I?
Well, there's a better chance of it now than there was before you said that stupid comment. I mean, that is literally like sitting in a press box in a game that's like sixth inning, 1-0, and the game's gone by in 1 hour and 4 minutes when you're the idiot that goes, man, we sure are moving fast. No, don't talk about it.
Brian Rippey does it all the time because he's convinced himself that he's an anti-jinx and it will speed up if he keeps saying it.
Well, if you believe that, that's different. But if you're just doing it because you're an idiot, those people should be thrown off the back of a press box.
That happens almost every time a first-timer comes into the press box. We're in like the fifth and they go, hey, this thing's flying along.
You're like, you stupid son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Because now it's not. Something's going to happen.
We're going 17 innings.
Pitcher's going to lose control. We're going to have a walk fest, and this thing is going to go 18 innings, and we're going to be here till 2 a.m.
And it's your fault.
And it's absolutely all your fault. Literally, watch. Every time someone does that, the next hitter walks. It's science.
There's an error.
Yeah, it's an atmospheric deal. You change the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, the pitcher can't feel the curveball anymore.
We're getting into another question in a second. I'm just saying this quickly. Did you see Ole Miss beat State up pretty good because of walks yesterday. Did you see the line score in that game?
No.
So MSU, 4 runs on 12 hits, 1 error.
Okay.
Ole Miss, 9 runs on 4 hits with 3 errors.
Well, when a couple of the hits go over the fence and you're getting walked and walked and walked and walked and walked, it counts.
Yeah, balls over the fence help analysis.
Man.
Yeah.
You know the game.
I know the game.
Well.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. All right, what do we think of the situation at Florida? Chris Steele transferring because basically he felt unsafe with his roommate, who's also leaving the program, I think. The staff refused him when he asked to change roommates on the team. This coming in crazy detail from Saturday Down South. However, I believe the Gainesville Sun was the first report on this. And everything was rolling for Dan Mullen. Then he lost a couple recruits, including one in what SDS called maybe the most Gator-friendly high school in America. And now dealing with stuff a lot bigger than just recruiting. What's up in Gainesville?
What happened with Steele?
You hadn't seen this?
No.
Okay. I'm going to have to cliff notes this a little bit, so give me a second. But it was all over our message board yesterday. I figured you saw it.
No, I had a weird day yesterday.
Okay. Well, let me find it. I'll try to. And if you didn't see it, that means other people did not as well. And this is that. Even if this takes a minute, this is probably worth talking about because this is a fairly big deal. So, all right, let me get down to Steele. For people that don't know, Steele was the crown jewel of their signing class. We'll start here. It said first word leaked that 4-star quarterback recruit Jalen Jones had entered the transfer portal after one spring on campus. Jones, one of the blue chip members of Florida's 2019 recruiting class, which ranks 9th nationally, blah, 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 was implicated but not charged in two sexual battery incidents during his brief time on Florida's campus. Losing the blue chip quarterback in Mullen's first non-transition year class would be bad enough on its own, but the bad news kept coming. That's when DeMarcus Bowman committed to Clemson over Florida, the running back that I just talked about a second ago. But then it got worse, and I'm getting there down. This is a really, really big, long story. It says, as if losing Bowman weren't bad enough, the Gators received even more awful news earlier Thursday when the story broke that Chris Steele, the crown jewel of Florida's 19 class and one of the most promising players in spring practice, announced he would transfer without ever playing a down in Gainesville. Steele entered the transfer portal, citing, according to Gainesville son Zach Albaverde, a dispute with the coaches over a roommate situation is the reason. The roommate, Jalen Jones. Albaverde reported, and SDS confirmed through multiple sources, including one with the police department, that Steele had concerns about Jones that predated the early April sexual battery incident wherein Jones was implicated. Steele, who was listed in the police report as a protective witness on account of living with Jones, expressed concern that Jones' behaviors to the Florida coaching staff as early as late January. According to the report, Steele asked to be assigned to a different roommate, citing his own concerns about getting into trouble by association. The staff punted on the request, telling Steele they would move him in the summer.
Ooh.
As it turns out, Steele was right, and the summer was too late. The whole incident infuriated Steele's family, who encouraged him to come home to California. If you're Chris Steele or his family, the decision makes sense, both financially and from a common sense safety standpoint, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
And then let's see. Yeah, basically that's it. Steele has left because he did not feel safe around Jalen Jones, and the staff ignored it.
So loosely put, he knew that that Jones
had a lot of crap going on, and then right after that, Jones gets not indicted, but implicated in sexual battery.
So he was concerned that Jones was a likely rapist.
He was worried. I'm inferring. I'm inferring that he thought he would be in the dorm when some crap went down and he would get in trouble because of it.
And he was.
Yeah.
And so, when he asked them, hey, I need to switch roommates, they should have said, yeah, okay. And they probably at that point should have called Jalen Jones in and said, hey, champ, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have zero tolerance on that. None. Zip. None. Good for him. I'm glad he's leaving. Sounds like a horrible situation.
Surely to gosh, he'll get a waiver.
He damn well better.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Can you imagine how angry his family must be?
Oh, gosh.
Ooh. Because he did the right thing.
He did.
That's a... I don't know. Mullen's a hell of a recruiter. He's a hell of a coach, but not convinced he's a good dude. Not convinced he cares about players. No, I'm just not convinced he cares.
Oh, I get it. Top three HBO series. You got any at all? I know you're not a big TV guy.
I love Veep.
Okay.
God, Veep is so funny. I'm in like season six right now, five or six, and I've doubled over in laughter watching it in the carpool line.
Off the top of my head, HBO, The Newsroom. I'm not as high on The Sopranos as most people, but I understand that it was kind of the first of its kind, and it's really groundbreaking in a lot of ways. The Wire is very good. And I really like Big Love. So, it's a few.
Yeah, I like Barry.
Okay.
It's a little dark sometimes, but I kind of like it.
Yeah. Not usually your cup of tea. It surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm not really into... I didn't ever really like The Sopranos, and I've never watched The Wire, and I'm going to watch Game of Thrones, but I haven't yet.
The Sopranos has some really bad lulls in it. There's some arcs that will bore me in the middle of that series. It's got some great episodes, and it's got some great arcs and some great character development, but my gosh, it gets boring at times. So,
Lucky Dog wants to know, when's the soft verbal coming?
Okay.
I'm still working on one for this week. It's I'm a little behind, but we'll catch up.
Take a guess on Ely. If I won't get held to it, I'm going to say he plays both sports at Ole Miss next year.
I'll say that my guess, if I had to guess, is that he plays football at Ole Miss next year and experiments with baseball and realizes that for right now, that's probably not his cup of tea.
Yeah, and maybe that's more the answer, but either way, I get it. Which company do you wish you'd invested in 20 years ago and you think that company will be around in 20 more years from now? Well, the answer is Amazon.
Yes.
Period. When the day that it went public would be the day I would like that I have invested in Amazon.
And if they're not around in 20 years, it's because an even bigger company bought them and they're all hanging out on an island giggling.
You know, I mean, we make Siri and Alexa jokes. I don't know that I realized until yesterday. I was talking to a friend how much Amazon products kind of affect my life every day. It's overtaken Apple potentially with things that to kind of assist me throughout the day. I'm telling you. I use a lot of Amazon products.
I've used it a lot since I started kind of this cleaner lifestyle.
Yeah.
I use it a lot. I get stuff off Amazon that I can't get in the stores.
Okay. But I mean like personal assistant stuff. Alexa, Fire TV, like all that kind of crap too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm moving in that direction.
What do you want to see on a meat and cheese tray? What is there to avoid? I'd like some pickles. Some pickled products are not the worst thing in the world.
Jalapenos.
Yeah. Grainy mustard.
Yeah.
I'm really okay with whatever proteins you decide to throw on it. I'll give them a shot. I'm not a big pate person. You could leave that. Go throw it away if you'd like.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
Really, it's not my thing.
I'm not. I don't. It's been a while since I've had cheese, and I miss the cheese, but yet at the same time, I don't crave it.
Okay.
I hadn't had a bite of cheese in I think 7 weeks.
I mean, a bite of cheese is not going to harm you.
Yeah, but I haven't. I haven't had any.
I could actually give or take the barbecue sauce. I don't care about that. I'd rather have the mustard.
Yeah, I'd much rather have the mustard.
Yeah, not even close.
I like barbecue sauce fine, but if you told me today that I could never have barbecue sauce again, I'd be fine.
Okay. What is the one, speaking of, this question coming up, what is the one cheap food you can't give up? I know you've given them all up, but what is it?
I don't know. It's a fascinating question because now that I kind of have given them up, I'm trying to determine what have I missed? Because I'm going on about 50 days of this now. What cheap food? I mean, I still have
at some beer. Point you're going to get a craving, I guess is my point. I mean, for the rest of your life, you're not going to stay completely 100% clean. So what is it that you go, hey, if I could grab that, that'd probably be pretty good.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to think. I mean, what is it that I miss? And the answer is I'm not sure. I've been sort of surprised that I haven't had overwhelming cravings.
You know, I'm not a big cake person. There's some desserts I really like, but I'm not, you know, let me rephrase this because everybody jumps on me when I say dumb stuff. It's not that I don't necessarily like the taste, but I have no desire to eat pizza most of the time. It doesn't make me feel very good. I feel very heavy after I eat it. And yep. To me, the taste does not outweigh those problems.
I completely agree.
Pizza is not something that I ever crave. I mean, ever. I don't care.
I've been heading in this direction for a long time. And like last night, the kids had pizza. And there was a day when I would have like, because there are a couple pieces left, and I would have grabbed one. Not only did I not grab it, I had no interest in it whatsoever.
Yeah, not my thing. Pasta, really good pasta, really good Mexican food, and then from a dessert standpoint, probably decked out frozen yogurt, or there's several pies that I would really like. Not a cake person, but I do like pie.
Yeah, I think I've thought of what it is that my cheat food would be.
Your decked out ice cream sundaes?
No, I think it would be like really good tortilla chips and queso, or really good pico de gallo. And pico is not a cheap food, but the tortilla chips are.
That's
probably if I'm going to deviate, that's probably where I'm headed.
Okay. He also says, why would you ever wear leather shoes without socks? Well, obviously you should wear dead socksy.
The no shows.
Yeah.
30% off. Enter promo code Rebel Grove at checkout at deadsocksy.com.
Yeah. And I've had years of wearing leather shoes without socks. Let's see. How easy would it be to get a credential to SC Media Days and ask a bunch of off-the-wall questions? Incredibly easy. They take everyone. Literally. Make up a fake website. It's fine.
You might get shut down after a couple of the questions, but getting in.
Oh, yeah. You could get in, though. There's no doubt you could get the credential.
Absolutely, because they want to brag about the numbers. So you could enter. I mean, you could sign up as chaseparham.com, and they would give you a credential.
Well, we've had friends do that.
Yes, we have.
You know, including some that were kind of legitimate. Jim Mashick, jimmashick.com back in the day. I'll comment on the all Ole Miss baseball team on the board. We're not going to bore you go through that right now, but I will think about it. I had such a hard time. I will go here with this. We have the last couple questions as we get out of here. I have a hard time figuring out how to compare the eras. That is my issue with these all-time teams. Like, there's no doubt Don Kessinger is the shortstop on this team. He has the Ole Miss record for career and season batting average. He's a 6-time All-Star and a 2-time Gold Glove winner. But otherwise, I don't know how to go across the era, because today's athletes are just bigger, faster, and stronger.
Yeah.
So do you just look at it from accomplishments? Do you factor that in? What do you do? And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer. I think you just have to say that. You have to say there's no way to know. And you can't hold it against an athlete from the 40s or 50s that he didn't play today. But at the same time, if you're being honest, who was the guy? He was with the Yankees when he said it. He said, you know, Babe Ruth would just be an average player now.
Yeah, I mean, he's about the size of Mike Trout or somebody.
Yeah, he's not as big as Trout.
Yeah.
God, Trout's a huge guy.
Yeah, I think Babe Ruth, he was like 6'1", 210. 215, yeah, something like that.
Normal guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony Rizzo would tower over Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Nevertheless, like an Aaron Judge or somebody. I was talking to – this was not about this at all. I didn't even mention it. We were talking about something else. I saw Don Kessinger at dinner last night. And he mentioned that Bill Veeck, when he was with the White Sox, wouldn't use radar guns. Just said, the hitter will let me know how hard he's throwing. So we're talking about even like in the 70s, just no radar guns, nothing. Just, you know, it's just everything was so different back then, I guess is the point.
So, yeah, I don't know. Did anybody ever put a radar gun on like Bob Gibson?
No idea. I don't know. Plumlee is more helpful on the diamond next year if they both play.
Yes.
I'm going to say they get all three games in this weekend just because they typically get all three. But if you told me it was two, I would not be shocked. That's where I'm going with this. Otherwise, I don't know. But let's see. Anything else? Who plays second base next season? I'm going to go with Justin Mench. At second base next season. I think he's back from his hand injury pretty soon. He's had a pretty productive season in some ways, so I think he plays that position. I think Anthony Servideo moves over to short.
I think it's fascinating that Johnny's kid never caught.
His dad is John Bench. It's very true. It's very true. All right, last question, a little fun here. I'll give it to Neil. Chris Paul versus Kyrie Irving, one-on-one. Can either one of them take the winning shot?
Well, Kyrie's made a big shot in his life. He hit a shot that basically won an NBA title. So maybe he could. Kyrie can't get out of Boston fast enough. It's over. And then Chris Paul, boy, it's big. It's a big moment for Chris Paul these next potentially two games.
Yeah. Game six tonight, right?
Yeah, I think game six is tonight. Yeah. And then if there is a game seven, it's Sunday. it's actually going to be a really good weekend of NBA. If you like the NBA, I think you're going to get multiple game sevens.
Appreciate Matt jumping on with us today. Appreciate all you guys listening throughout our week of podcast. Ole Miss Mississippi State at some point, maybe at 6:30 tonight. We'll have coverage at rebelgrove.com. We'll have there's some recruiting up on the site as well. And then if Kadeem Sy decides to make his decision, that will be up there also, along with the content that I've already mentioned this morning. So appreciate it. Talk to you on Monday.